reading of His Word. Today, as Christians, we gather to celebrate an event that depicts a different understanding of God made known to us in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is called Pentecost. Fred Craddock reminds us Pentecost is a noun. Pentecost, an early harvest festival celebrated in the ancient East among many peoples. Pentecost, an early harvest festival transformed into the celebration of the revelation of the law at Mount Sinai by the Hebrew people. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, a festival celebrated 50 days after Easter. Pentecost, a date, a place, an event. Luke begins his story with the listeners. You know, there is no sermon until people ask, what does this mean? What must we do? Dr. Luke's message is that the gospel that was given is universal. Everyone heard it in their own language. The gospel is not to be taken to the ends of the earth. All the nations of the earth were there at the beginning. There is in mission no sense of triumphalism, that this world's salvation depends on what we may say or what we may do. That would be a burden too great to bear. For God is in charge of God's world, and God will bring salvation to God's world when the hearts and the minds and the wills of people are ready to listen. And until that day, we are to wait, work, and pray. Tonight, we will join millions of Americans to watch the celebration of life on the Mall in Washington. With word and music, the maimed and fallen will be honored. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a time of speeches and parades when we recall those that have given their lives in service to God and country. In the year 1965, I know you will all love history. In the year 1965, President Abraham Lincoln gave his second inaugural address. All knew that this, slavery, was somehow the cause of the war. Yet, if God will that the war continue until all the wealth piled up by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn sword. As it was said 3,000 years ago, so shall it must be said. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You see, President Lincoln viewed the Civil War as a war of God's judgment against a nation that had enslaved the people for 300 years. Abolitionist Christian Julia Ward Howe, despite the bad news from the front, had a dream, a vision of victory, and she penned it. It's called The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And President Lincoln was stirred like a trumpet blast. Will you now rise and join together in singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic? Mine eyes have seen the glory. Julia Howe used the book of Revelation for this vision. Revelation 14, 7, fear God and give glory to Him, for the house of His judgment is come. 19:13, Christ was trapped in the grapes of sin with a garment dipped in the blood of Calvary. He loosed the faithful lightning. 1:16. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The watchfire is like the watchman, God's power at work. 2011, sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. How is envisioning those Union soldiers coming before God? In the beauty of the lilies, whatever the circumstance, Christians sense that God's glory is in their hearts. God to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. World War I, from Flanders Field where poppies blow, between the crosses, row by row, take up our quarrel with the foe you have, from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. So to the mountains of Afghanistan and the sands of Iraq, American men and women answer the call. Today, as then, the news from the front is not good. Nor is the news from our nation's streets, cities, state capitals, or Washington. Anger, fear, despair abound. Now Israel had thrown one long tantrum, deported, living in exile right at the bottom. Young Ezekiel brings in the word from the Lord. I will be your God. I will deliver you, but not for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, which you profaned among the nations. And through you, I will vindicate the holiness of my name. It was not because of the holiness of Israel, nor good deeds. Biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann stated, this is the most stunning text in the Bible, for it sets God's sovereignty at a distance from Israel. God will act, not out of mercy, not out of compassion, but from holiness. For it takes a great God to love a people like you. Ezekiel said, our only hope is that God will be God. Well, it will not be our courage, our fortitude, our shaking our fist at death that will make a difference. It will be the actions of God. But the gods that we create, gender, class, race, size, projections of our ideal images of ourselves as part of our argument, those gods can be worshipped and prayed to only because those gods are like you and like me, idols. Not for your sake, for the sake of my name. And God breathed into dry bones, L'chaim, life, the life they came. Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Behold, I will cause breath entering into you, and you shall live. And the breath came, and they lived. And centuries later, Jesus was standing in the synagogue, and he proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to announce good news. When the disciples saw him risen from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the life-giving Spirit came like a roaring wind. A tongue of fire lit in each one of them. They experienced his presence. Everything came to life for them. Faith, the hope, the scripture. The dry bones of a community came alive. Just as John the Baptist had promised, he baptized with wind and with fire. Luke wrote, there is a hunger for what this gospel offers. Instead of hatred, gloom, violence, rivalry, and fanaticism, selfishness, and lies, there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, self-control, gifts of the Holy Spirit. The most terrible systems of the human race are the distortions of longings for peace and love and joy. That is why wherever the gospel is presented, listeners experience a sense of familiarity. For the images God is within us, for his grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. You see, God is never without a witness, and God sends his Spirit into the world to give life. But life is given in community, a people bearing God's name. Harold Kushner, the Jewish rabbi author in his book To Life, reminds us, one of the most important differences between Judaism and Christianity is that the Jews were a people before they had a religion. For Christians, faith commitment is primary. First, we believe that God was in Jesus. The crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, was the way in which God redeemed humankind from sin. That's what we have in common. That's what makes us Christians. We believe that this Spirit gives to each one of us life. Christ's church. You see, God called you here today to celebrate the gifts that God has given to each one of you, to remember Jesus Christ. Is there hopelessness, despair, guilt, worry, anger, depression? Hear the words. Come. Come unto me. I will give you life, and that abundantly. So what does it mean? The same God that breathed life into dry bones in the valley of dry bones, who renewed the Tower of Babel of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, has invited each one of you this day to this sanctuary to encounter the holiness of God. What then shall we do? Repent. The promises to you and to your children and all who are afar off, all whom the Lord our God calls. Despite the revisionist historians and PC pundits, I assert that this is a covenant nation, the only surviving nation on this earth that has as its origins founding mothers and fathers who established a settlement to the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Today we celebrate Pentecost, and we pray that this Holy Spirit will descend mightily upon us. We ask that the Holy Spirit seize us like the potter sees the clay, molding us and making us into a community. A community cannot survive on what it remembers. It persists only because of what it affirms and it believes. And we affirm and we believe that God was in Jesus Christ reconciling this world. And our goal is to transform this world into the kind of world that God had in mind, a peaceable kingdom. One of the most moving moments in any military cemetery is the sound of taps. It resounded on Memorial Day. Remember the blood spilled from battlefields to this communion table. The words for taps go like this. Praise God, God the Son, from the earth, from the light, from the skies. All is well. Safe to rest. God is well. Go to sleep. Peaceful sleep. May the soldier and sinner God keep, but the land may be taken sleep. Thanks and praise for our days, if the sun meets the stars, meet the sky, as we go, this we know. Received the Spirit of Almighty God, that power within. So hear anew that whisper. You have been crucified with Christ, but it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Let it be so. Amen and amen. A song we all know. Following the song, there will be a brief video. The video moved me. So the young boy, standing for an hour and a half on the beaches of Normandy, holding the American flag.